Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another edition of Star Sound Speaks. This is your host, Irliana Samsara of Star Sound Astrology. I have a very, very special guest with me today. Here she is, Holly Payberg-Taroya. Hello, Holly.
Hello. So good to be here.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I've wanted to do this forever. And here's the thing. Holly is not an astrologer. Okay.
That's I know nothing.
You know nothing. You say you know nothing. But the reason I have her on is because Venus retrograde in Leo, this is one of the big major transits of the year, and all the implications about creativity and our self-worth and our divine creative self, our authentic selves. We are revisiting all of, you know, who and what we are loyal to, what agreements we've made that we may not be aware of subconsciously. Hang on with me, Holly. I got to give some straight astro here. When it went retrograde, I remember it was in an aversion, exactly 28 degrees from Pluto in Capricorn. So there is a lot of under the hood subconscious programming that we're dismantling. And it's not an easy process, but it definitely has to do with corporate hierarchy, the male patriarchal toxic patriarchy, right? And so we are getting to re-examine this. And as we know, those of us familiar with astrology, we know that when Venus goes retrograde, Venus, the goddess, she's going in the underworld. Mm-hmm. And it's an initiation process. It's an unknown territory. And the Kazemi, which is coming up a week from this Sunday, the Kazemi, the sacred audience Venus has with the sun, she's alone. The sun, it's like God, or I'll say goddess, whispering in her ear. I'm getting chills saying this. There's certain profound realizations and connections and understandings that are always built, baked into this process. So this process being so, so very valuable. And never has it been a more important time to reconnect with our creative selves. It's a process we started in Harvey Weinstein and the Me Too movement. We had a solar eclipse, 28 degrees of Leo. And guess what? Venus stationed retrograde at 28 Leo. So all this toxic patriarchy conversation is very much resonating. It's coming up again, the abuses of power and all. And how do we reinvent ourselves into a healthy, resilient, sustainable model of existence? And so those are the big, big, big pictures. We've been talking about this a lot. Michael Bartlett and I did a great, if you haven't seen that, he's so brilliant, my beloved Santa Fe star brother, talking about all this. But anyway, but today we have Holly here because I wanted to share with you, Holly is a dear friend and I have been in her class. She does these classes and she is the founder of a writer's community, unlike any writer's community you've ever seen. It's called Loving the Process. And I'll put the links below and all. Why I wanted you here, Holly, was because I saw the astrology and how it's resonating exactly with your life's mission. And I love the fact that you are assisting people with this creative process. Our creativity has always been so shut down in our society. We're made to feel like we're not artists and all. So your work has helped me. I never would have done this creative project. Sorry, guys, I can't announce it yet. I'm keeping my focus on this very big project of mine. But anyway, I digress. Holly, I know you worked in Hollywood. You worked with Lisa Kudrow. You worked with Harold Ramis. You had a real job and a real career in Hollywood. What happened? You weren't happy. How did you get into this work?
Yeah, well, I got into the work because I loved it. I mean, when I was about 21 or 22, outrageously idealistic, I just, these stories were coming to me that I felt it would be a shame not to make movies out of. You know, I was extremely idealistic about the movie and television industry, like, and what was possible within it, how storytelling can really impact, you know, all of us, our psyche, you know, that if we tell certain stories, it can lift us all up. And so I wanted a piece of that, because when I was a kid, comedians were my superheroes. I thought they're alchemists. They can just take some of the yuckiest stuff of life and make it better somehow, or at least laugh at it so it could be better. Or, you know, they could bring people together, reminding us that, you know, there's so much more that's similar than there is different. And so I wanted a piece of that. My experience in Hollywood, sadly, was that it was an uphill climb with very little satisfaction. Some of that was my own approach, just, you know, always every success I had, you know, was never good enough for my own self, frankly. I would just set the bar further and then, you know, try to reach that. But also, it was just Hollywood and the system as it's created right now, in my opinion, is not very conducive to the creative process. It doesn't really, they also keep creating more and more hoops. They say they want fresh voices. They say they want new voices. But if you try to be one of those fresh or new voices, it is really almost impossible to get over the, even with some of the people I knew, even actually being right on the edge of connections with people. It's just, it's a big money business. And I understand business, and I was raised by entrepreneurs, and I respect and love business people, but the nature of it tends to be so focused on product. And that is necessary for them. While at the same time, it's that push-pull, because what's necessary for creatives is to be deep in process, like really have to learn how to not really think about product for a while, just like you were talking about with your own stuff. You're keeping it under the hood. You really, almost like a scientist, need to be free to like be really messy and throw spaghetti against the wall and see what sticks, and just really get into the dirt of it. That's where the really, for scientists, that's where the big breakthroughs come. For creatives and writers, that's where those amazing ahas, where they touch on some human truth that, you know, when we watch movies like that, we're just like, we're either laughing hysterically or wrecked emotionally in a good way. You know, like that's where it comes from, is being willing to go down into that muck. And that is not an environment that is created. So, and most writers I know, you know, they don't, I mean, well, they're complaining right now, but typically, you know, for the longest time, they have not been complaining. They just go, oh, okay, what's the next hurdle? Fine, fine, fine. Now I have to be a marketer and a producer too. So, I have to have a following on social media. They're jumping all these hurdles that are, again, typically what the business people should be doing, not the creatives, because it keeps them focused on product and not deep in, like you said, the underworld, where you're really searching and finding and finding in, you know, intimate ways to express. And so for me, I got tired of all of it. I decided there was a much easier way in life to have my creative fulfillment and satisfaction. And so now I'm writing curriculum. I'm probably going to write some novels because I can self-publish and I don't have to jump through anybody's hoops. I can do my own. And I've been coaching writers because that I really do believe. I work with writers who are really interested in genuinely being great writers and really interested in diving into that muck and just developing a serious craft. I'm not going to promise them whether they're going to be famous or published or produced, because that is anyone's guess. And it doesn't necessarily have to do with whether they're talented or not. It typically has to do with whether they're talented at sales, which is a whole nother creature. But those that want to really dive into their creativity and their storytelling, which has, you know, powerful personal ramifications, if nothing else, those are the people I'm there to help at this point, and I love it.
Yeah, and the way, and you named your community Loving the Process. I have to say, just personally, having gone through your program, wow, what a program. Oh my goodness. I didn't realize the way you're just breaking, you're doing the very thing that is Venus in retrograde is asking us to do right now. We're breaking old paradigms of how it has to be. And especially with women, like how we were taught and the societal conditioning of having to, you know, and the suppression of that muck. And it's like, no, you're like, you give us permission to just be exactly as we are. And it was it was shocking to me those first few weeks where all of my stuff came up. And I mean, that was just me. I don't know if it's like that very good, but I went through a horrific, when I started, if you remember, I had lost my cat went missing, and I went through losing all my four cats.
So much stuff, yeah.
It was hell, but I hung on to your program. It was like my lifeline, mm-hmm. and that I was okay to be, I get emotional. It was okay to be as I was and as I wasn't. What I love about my community with you guys is that there's this complete permission to be as oneself and not this. I've had this type A behavior. I grew up in the suburbs of New York City. So the culture of New York and in the 80s, it was all that go, 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 and, you know, conquer and kill off the competition. It was just really toxic. So it's like undoing all that.
Yeah, because getting to that core and finding your actual, true, authentic, unique voice is honestly the only shot you got. It really is. All the busyness of the world and all the people we're trying to impress can muddy that and make you forget it. But in the last couple of years, you know, after the whole journey I've been through, I realized the only people that tell stories that really get us or, you know, make an impact, it's because they went to a truth. They went deep inside a truth that they know. And everyone's got one better than, you know, everyone's got unique experiences. But getting to their own individual truth like that and pulling away from, like you said, these ways you're told you have to do it and doing it whatever way it is that you do it is key.
Yeah. And allowing ourselves to feel that. It's all such new territory and it's raw and none of us have it figured out. And that's okay.
No, we can help each other. You've seen it in our community. It's like everyone's got a little piece.
Yes, yes. And we all help each other. Yeah. And also astrologically, of course, we also have Saturn retrograde in the sign of Pisces. It's just gone through oppositions with Mars. Writing and Mercury, the god of writing, and but the generally speaking, for those of you watching this who may not know any astrology, we have Saturn in the sign of Pisces for another almost two years, and so that is a huge that's an opportunity to create epic art. My favorite go-to comparison is Sergeant Pepper. Sergeant Pepper was created in the 60s, those, you know, Jefferson Airplane, Jefferson Starship, Sergeant Pepper, Revolver, the Beatles, you know, all that epic work came out of Saturn and Pisces. So now Saturn and Pisces, it repeated again in the mid 90s. And I may be biased, but I don't believe that, you know, Kurt Cobain was there and grunge and all that. So I guess if you grew up younger than me, you'd, you know, be exalting that and fine, whatever. The idea being that it is such a time to create epic, the ruler of Pisces, Jupiter. And so there's this expansion and this loosening of these societal rules of how it has to be. So that's also in the mix too. So it's a really exciting, it's a really exciting time to be alive and to be creating. And I feel like the work, you know, we could join any writer's group or do it ourselves or whatever, but I love the fact that the very existence of what you're doing is like breaking down the matrix, this very work and loving the process. And
Yeah, well, because epic work, like you said, that kind of epic work did not come from asking for permission. The Beatles weren't sitting around going, I wonder what the people would like, or I wonder what the music execs would like, or no, they were together as creatives, letting whatever was coming from their, you know, souls, whatever was inspiring them at the moment, that's where that came from, not from taking a poll or a survey and trying to figure out or what was hot right now and what's selling. No, that came from somewhere much deeper. And I love that you're saying astrologically, this is the time for that, like sink into it and really.
There is no time like the present. This, I knew for me, like I needed to, this is the writing project that I'm working on with you. It actually came out of, it's sad to say, I don't know if you probably don't know this, but there was a lunar eclipse in 2017, and it was exactly on my moon, on my sun. And it was the day of the Parkland shooting in Florida. And I out of that, I felt it psychically hours before it happened. Woke up in incredible grief. And I remember feeling, I was sub-teaching at the time, building my practice. And I remember being standing at this little podium taking attendance, and I felt weak-kneed. I didn't know what was going on. I'm like, I am healthy. I'm not sick. And I was like leaning on the podium trying to take attendance. And I wanted to just burst out crying. And I didn't know why. And I just was praying, like, please let me just take attendance and not break down and cry in front of all these kids. And I remember, little story, after I took attendance, I was like, I just couldn't wait for the day to be over. And I hear this, well, yeah, actually, this little voice, these kids in this other room, they were like the honor students. And I never told anybody I was an astrologer, not in a school district. Are you kidding? I don't lose my job. I'm in Florida. Yeah, right. Anyway, but I go in this little room, and these kids are, they said, Miss Samsara, can you come here, please? I'm like, yeah, what's going on? And they said, and I was just ready to burst out, and I could, you can't imagine, they actually, I thought I would faint. They said, Miss Amsura, do you know anything about astrology? I'm like, how the hell? Yeah, it was very, very crazy cosmic day. And I'm like, and I figured, you know what, F it, I don't care if I lose my job, like, this is who I am, right? The desire for the, and I said, well, yeah, I do, but don't you dare tell anybody. And they said, you do. And they whipped out their phones, and they were like, they had their charts on their phones, and they're like, will you read my,
Oh my
sorry.
goodness.
But what the sad thing was that I came home, and that's the shooter that happened a few hours later. So psychically, I was feeling what was about to happen. And
Well, and then
so,
you
but
turn to creativity to help you process it all.
yeah. And I remember out of that, it was so devastating to me that I said, you know what? It just, I don't know, it just made me feel, this is it. I'm an artist. I spent years on Madison Avenue. I did, publicity and, booking people on, national television, like all this other stuff. I'm like that. And I did, I had measures of success there, but I'm like, but that tragedy kicked something up, and I'm like, I am a creator. I'm really an artist. And I always wondered, like, what would it be like to just, write and do something art, like artistic writing, not commercial. And so I knew I needed to do this. And the idea from my creative project came at that time. But then I sat on it, and it kind of faded away over the years. And then I just remembered what you had, and I'm like, I got this guidance, like, you got to call Holly. You got to call Holly. Like, I'm like, it's now or never. I mean, we're not getting any younger. And
And it's
so,
been so good for you to honor your stories, right? I mean, that's the thing that irritates me. You're talking about we're facing these systems now and changing the way we do things. That's another reason I created my program, is because I feel like creativity and storytelling and all that stuff is systemically sort of discouraged. It's like, oh, okay, the first 18 years of life when you're a kid in school, it's like you do all these things, and it's all fine. And then the second you become an adult, it's like, okay, we'll do something real. And if you're gonna pursue any kind of creative endeavors, it better amount to something like financial or otherwise, or you're wasting your time, which I have a big problem with that. I'm like, no, I think that cuts us off at the knees at something that we as humans need. I think we need our stories. I think we need our creative expression and all the, especially when all these horrific things keep happening in the world. How do we process them in any meaningful way if we're not, utilizing some kind of creative outlet like that to understand, And so I find it. And why? Just because it better turn into a product at some point, or it's a waste of time and energy and money.
like writing for the sheer joy of writing rather than like, where's this gonna lead? Where's this gonna lead? It's like,
Well, yeah, because it's not going to lead anywhere if you don't do that first, period. It might lead somewhere, but you might not even want to share with everyone once you're done. Or you might. I don't know. I don't know what you
yeah.
know, everyone's different, but it's like you won't develop the ability to impact people if you don't flounder around in it for quite some time. So, you know, and you're not going to make money at it until you get really good at it. So it's like there's no path the way it is currently because people won't allow themselves that long amount of time before they have to decide whether it's going to amount to something.
Yeah. I
You
guess
know.
if there was a visual logo for your business, it would be a amount to something with a red line through it. Like, I don't know where it's gonna, I mean, like, in other words, not that it's not important, but we just take away, we're not attached to that. We
Yeah.
let go of it because you end up, we end up in a better place without that. And maybe it comes, but then there's no attachment. And it's like, oh, isn't that nice? Icing on the cake, but we got to go after the cake. The cake is creating, whether it's writing a novel or a screenplay or whatever. I mean, the people in our program, they're writing all different kinds of
Yeah,
things.
absolutely. And my whole thing was that's the safety. If you learn to love the process, if you're actually enjoying your creating, you are not going to lose. You've already won. The rest, like it sells millions of books or all this kind of stuff, that's all gravy because you actually, you know, there's plenty of people in Hollywood that are absolutely miserable and making lots of money. They didn't enjoy a second of the process. I was one of those people actually for quite some time, you know, which is why, yeah, I'm so committed to no, love the process and then no matter what happens. And it also is just a better environment for doing better work.
You're like a midwife,
Yeah.
or what did Heidi Carlin, Carlin,
Kelly.
Kelly,
Oh,
Kelly
she can.
Carlin. She calls you the story witch.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like you're able to pull that. Yeah, and there's such an element of trust in this community. There's such, we all feel safe. That was a big thing. It's like, I don't want people making fun of me, you know.
Well, because I'm not here to
Nobody
judge.
does.
I'm
Yeah.
not here to judge whether your story is important or good or all these kinds of things. I'm here to help you tell the story you need to tell for whatever reason you need to tell it.
Yeah. That's awesome. So you are starting a new one. It's a 1 year program. Your anchor program is this 1 year program, and it's loving the process, and you're starting a new one then. You just told me you're starting one next month, right?
Yes, starting
September.
in September, September 13th, I'm able to bring on 16 more students in the full capacity, the ones that want to, where I walk them through, we go through it together. There's cohorts, so we have smaller group sessions, but as you know, keeping it small like that and really guiding them through every step of the way, there's such a bonding that occurs that not only do I walk them through and help them not just to write the story that they want to tell, but I also walk them through a whole process that they can use over and over again once they've been through it. And we, like a life coach, but for creatives, I assess all the saboteurs that get in their way so that faster and faster they can get into flow without all that judgment on themselves. And then also they just end up with an amazing writers community.
Right, yeah. I love this. Your community is so, it's just my lifeline for creativity. So as much as I love astrology, it's like I really got, and I'm getting too, Venus is doing a lot of things in my chart, and I'm really starting to see things differently and take a different approach with my creativity and my voice. And this community is like the very safe space, because creativity, like you were saying, it has been so squandered. We're seeing it right now with the Writers Guild and the SAG and after strikes. It's like that is a cultural conversation. It's not just about Hollywood. That's about this the creative self in whatever capacity.
Yeah, I think it is. It's I mean, particularly with Hollywood, it's slowly there's been this disconnect. I don't fully understand why some of these people at the studios even want to be in the creative business when they just don't seem to have respect for or care about the creative process at all. They just want what they want, and they don't think that they need to nurture, slowly. Back in the day, studios actually had development. They understood that artists needed development time and all that. And slowly, all of that is going away. Most writers are on their own in a lot of ways, having to do everything. And then when they finally get the attention of the studios, they've made it almost impossible for them to really profit. So after each project, I know filmmakers that are just broke after they're done making the film. Well, somebody else is profiting off of literally everything they did. And that's just not, it's just not okay. It's like I remember
It's
there was
not
a, I had a,
sustainable.
no, I had a visual effects company. And so it was, to me, upsetting. I watched when Rhythm and Hues, who did the most remarkable visual effects for that Life of Pi movie, as they were getting their Academy Award nominations, they were going bankrupt.
Wow.
And it's because the studios, they just have in their idea what they want to pay that has no basis in for reality for what these artists, I mean, artists, what it takes for them to get to that place and how long it takes. They should be treating them like partners. But instead, it's like you said, it's that old power over instead of power with sort
Yeah, it's
of
like there's this
structure.
like a squeezing the sponge and wringing out everything.
Yeah. Is that what you said astrologically? That's gonna go away?
Yeah, it's all getting rewritten. Yeah, because Pluto is in went to Aquarius in March, and then it went into 0 degrees. And the big picture we kind of confronted. We haven't entered the house yet. We kind of opened the door of a new place where we're all going to be living for the next 20 years. And we're kind
It
of
does
looking
feel like we're
around.
seeing things. Like the truth of stuff is like, as much as I don't like it, I've been seeing the truth of like what the studios think about artists. I'm like, wow. Or in politics, you're seeing the truth of what people think about
Yeah. Well,
their
when at this stage
interesting.
where Pluto entered is like, oh, we got zero. Then it went. Now it's stepping backwards since June, stepping backward in the sky. It's at 28 degrees of Capricorn, the previous sign. And so then it's like, okay, what this is saying these next few months is saying, okay, well, now that we've seen a future which can be where everyone is respected. A
Yeah.
very, Aquarius is all about the humanitarian progressive ideals. So it's like, let's create a society where everyone is treated fairly and humanely. Okay, now what do we have to do? And this is what these current months are. What do we have to do to make that happen? We got to go backward, Pluto retrograde to Capricorn, go backward and look at this old boy system. It's been very male dominated, Hollywood, as you know, male dominated and all these codes. And let's go back and what needs to shift that we haven't already sh shifted. There are things that are showing up, like the writer's strike is the perfect live coverage of Venus retrograde and then a version to Pluto and Capricorn. Oh my God, here it is. Where have we not respected the artistic creative project and the creative process? And so now we are getting to say, well, now we got to dismantle that. So this is the
Yeah.
dismantling of these toxic structures.
The irony of it all is that it would be better for them too, the ones that are trying to keep it in place. Because, again, in the analogy that's going on in Hollywood, if they actually took better care of the artists, they would get better product and they would have better profits. Like in the end, it would be better for all. In fact, I go back to my favorite example right now as I think of Walt Disney and Roy Disney. That was power with. That was equal. But it was Walt's creative visions that led the way. And yes, they were unreasonable, like the studios have been talking about artists. All his ideas were unreasonable because that's what creativity often is. But Roy, his brother, and maybe because they were brothers, He figured out how to way to pay for it. He figured out how to way a way to make sense. And look how profitable. It's not like he lost his skin. Yeah, they did a couple times, but it became and still is what Disney is, right? But it was because of an unreasonable artist at the helm running things. And that, it, you know, instead of like, can you imagine if Walt was just Roy's employee or mentally treated that way? And Walt was just in service of whatever Roy's, you know, money-making dreams were.
It wouldn't happen. Yeah.
It would not. It would not. And so that's my, I'm fascinated by that example. I think it just shows.
Yeah, the complete respect they had for each other. You know, they weren't, one wasn't dissing the other. They knew that.
I'm sure they drove each other crazy, but I think that is the push-pull that needs to happen. I think slowly over time, what's happened, and it happened first in the music industry, and now it's happening in the film industry, is that it's almost entirely businessman led, a creative industry. And that's just not the order of things in a creative. It's not that they're not important. They're deeply important. They're, you know, I don't think artists should get all that they want. We can be inherently childish and ridiculous. Like when Walt decided, oh, now we have Technicolor, let's redo the entire, I mean, they don't necessarily make good financial decisions, but if you don't let them lead to a certain level, you get what you get, is my opinion on that.
Yeah, like checks and balances.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But there is this huge inequality that the current astrology is pointing out to us in all areas of our society and culture. And now we are like, okay, it doesn't have to be this way. And it can't. I mean, this is, you know, the agents at, you know, United Talent Agent and William Morris and all these CAA, you know, they're getting these Uber agents. Mm-hmm. Getting 20%. They used to get 10%. Now they're getting 20%. No one, it's this vampiric sucking of everything for the people at the top. And there's that squeeze, and that's not sustainable. Pluto is like saying, you know what? We can't go on like this. And we're not, and it's not, you can't, we can tell the, I can send emails to all the top studio heads, guys, you know, maybe you have your own astrologers and you're not saying that, but if you're not, just want you to know, you're not going to win this. All right. It's just going to, it's all getting taken down like a wrecking ball, and you ain't going to, nobody survives this. Old patriarchy is not surviving. I think it's like at last gasp, and they're trying to desperately hang on, but the future's already here. We see it.
It, you know,
we could be seeing some radically reinvented structures that look nothing like the past, which is what Aquarian is. It's a break from the past. So even the studio system, I say it's going under an even more radical revolution than it did in the 1940s when they had the studio system, you know, how stars would be aligned with certain studios and they could only make pictures. And then they had this big paradigm shift. Now this is an even greater one with AI. Obviously.
Absolutely. Well, and I think they got a little cocky because of AI, thinking they could replace the artists. Yeah. And it's like, no, you cannot. And in fact, I saw this comedian the other day that made me laugh because he said, actually, what do you guys do? Spreadsheets and like figuring out calculations of what might be successful. He's like, sounds like an AI job to me.
Okay. The karma comes back on you.
The heart, you can't really duplicate the heart via AI, you know, like they want to be careful because slowly they've mistreated artists for so long and made them sort of do everything. They've had to get good at the marketing and all the things that traditionally the studios would do for you, that the artists, you never know, they might up and say, I'll just do it all myself.
Well, that's really where
I'll accept it as smaller. You know, maybe I won't get worldwide reach because I don't have your big machine, but you know, maybe I will. Who knows?
Yeah. It'll just be, the game is going to be played on a whole different. Mm-hmm. It's not about the Pluto emphasis is not about, you know, fixing this playing field and adjusting it. It's like, no, it's like, let's just get rid of the entire playing
that,
field.
It's saying.
Yep. It's that deep. And you're going to see this over the next, it's a very slow burn with Pluto. And it's going to, but we're in this interesting, a foot in both worlds for the next like year and a half, when it finally goes, it does without it'll retrograde again one more time back next year into the last degree of Capricorn. So it's like one last cleanup this time and next year. And then once November of 2024, once it goes there, it's in for good in Aquarius. So this is a very interesting time to be looking, and we're cleaning. As one of the astrologers I interviewed, great man, Ari Moshe Wolf, he's an evolutionary astrologer. And he said, it's like, we're looking and we're cleaning up the house that we're just moving out of. And we realize, you know what, there's mold in those walls. We can't see it. It's hidden. Pluto's about hidden worlds, and Capricorn is structure. When you think about like a house or a building, and it's like, there's mold there. Well, we can't have that. That's not sustainable. So you probably have to knock down the I'm thinking, yeah, like you can't just, but it's of course, it's maybe not even the greatest analogy right here for this conversation, because mold can be handled, but it's when a structure is so toxic with, say, agents taking 20%, and when it's that much of a vampiric, you know, death squeeze, then there's nothing, you just walk away. And I think that's what actors and artists and all are starting to, they become YouTube stars. It's like this outrageous paradigm shift where it's like, no, we're not
it
even
does feel
play.
Different.
We're not even going to play in that system anymore. We're like done trying to work with you. We're
yeah,
done.
They made it so hard for so long that, you know, I saw some other writers recently on the picket line that were basically like, we're used to not making much money from you people, so we can handle a strike.
You can. You with your six-car garage, is nothing wrong with the six-car garage.
Yeah, and that maybe there's a better way to do it. You know, I was a filmmaker for quite some time, and you know, you can observe real quick. That was one of the reasons I loved Harold Ramis, for example. His was, I asked him how he did it, because, you know, he was under a lot of pressure. He was on huge sets, you know, with all the studio pressure and all that stuff. And people were so happy on his set. Like, you know, everyone was just working together and lovely. And I asked him, I don't know how you do it. He looked all calm like a Buddha. And he's like, well, I just made a promise with my friend we weren't going to do it if it wasn't fun. And that was his attitude for his whole career. But, you know, I've been on plenty of other sets where it's just from the top down. It's just there's one person at the top that wants to take credit for everything when honestly, it is a full collaborative team sport, filmmaking is. But that one person wants to make sure they get credit for all of it. And they just make everybody else's life miserable by poking into everything and trying to, whether they've made it better or not, have their ego all tied in it. And it's just a whole miserable experience that doesn't have to be. It can be amazing when it's allowed to be.
Yeah. And taking care of your people. I remember years ago, I dated a man who was, he had been Warren Beatty's stand-in.
Yeah.
He was Warren Beatty's stand-in, and he used to say that Warren was paid his people very well, more than most other of the actor producers, you know, and directors in Hollywood. And he said, and he had such loyalty. He had the same bunch of people for years that worked with him, very loyal to him. And he said, you know, how I do this? He said, you know, he goes, you know, Gary, you pay your people well, they do a good job for you. So he paid them more than others, and he got great work. And
you know what? That's who you're spending all your time with. Don't you want the people around you well-fed and happy and peaceful? And I mean, you know, you get what you pay for. You want that good quality in your life. So, you know, that just tells me he's smart.
Yeah, he's a legend of Hollywood. There he's, you know. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, I'm just really, I'm glad we had this conversation today, because I'm so, so very, so very grateful for what I've been able to accomplish with you. And there's more to come. It's a process, an evolving process. And I think also the fact that you have this system set up where in your community and loving the process, you've got not only the 1-year program, but then you have all these other side things that
yeah, we there's retreats and stuff people can pop into, weekend retreats here and there. If they check my website, they come up from time to time.
And also the writing, the daily writing salon, you know, it's our mm-hmm. writer's gym where we work out. And yeah, it's such, there's such freedom there to feel embraced and safe. And it's just, it's a very safe place. And that we, everybody needs safety now. We're going through these crazy times. And I'm just grateful for the safe haven that you provide for that creative spark. That is our soul, our God essence, our divine essence. And that it's, there is a place on earth. There are places, and yours is one of them, where it can be embraced and welcomed and grown. You know, mm-hmm. this is where the juice is. And this is where the future is this in this direction. So
I so sure grateful. Hope so. Wouldn't it be nice?
Yeah, no, you're, yeah, I, the astrology says you're on point, girl. So
I'm on the path. Finally.
Yay. Yeah, you are. This, you're doing what you're meant to do and certainly holding that space for everyone. So I encourage any of you interested in this work, it's loving-the-process.com.
Yes. And you can, anyone that's curious about my programs, you're welcome truly to get on my calendar and chat with me.
The new program starts September 13th. Venus has stationed direct. So it's she's coming out of the underworld. It's like, okay, now what am I going to do with these downloads? Well, go write. Go write that story that's in your heart, you know? So,
yes. Well, and if I have my way, my program will be filled up to the limit with how many students I can have. And since most of my students don't leave, if you're interested, you might want to get in because... Yeah, it is not be taking new people for quite some time, but
okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Good to know. Well thank you. Thank you so much. And I'm going to see you back at my desk as the writer. Thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate your time and all that you do.
Absolutely, and I appreciate you, and I'm glad to know that this is the time to dive in and be super super creative. So
Yeah, we're doing it. All for now, and tell me how everybody's doing with our Venus approaching Kazemi on August 13th. Oh my goodness, this is an exciting time. All of this incredible initiatory process of Venus retrograde. So it's bringing blessings and openings. And let me know how you're doing. What did you think of this conversation? I love hearing from you. And like, share, subscribes are always appreciated. Yeah, we'll see you next time. This is Irliana Samsara and Holly Payberg-Taroya of lovingtheprocess.com. Thank you all for listening.